This is Galesburg's Evening News on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining us tonight. The city of Galesburg is perhaps an important player in a group called the Western Illinois Amtrak Corridor, which has met in Galesburg before and actually met in Galesburg yesterday. So I thought we'd take some time to talk about that with the boss, not Bruce Springsteen, rather, but Mayor John Pritchard is here in studio. Thank you, sir.
Good evening, Will. Thanks.
Glad to have you as always. I know, well, first of all, let's talk about this corridor. Like I said, I'm kind of familiar with it because I know it's been around for quite a while and I think had one of its first meetings in Galesburg.
But, well, you know what?
Talk about it.
Yeah, Don Moffitt was part of the original folks that organized this Amtrak corridor in 2012, I believe. And since then, it meets about quarterly in the meeting location moves around. Our meeting in April was at the Amtrak offices at the Union Station. The corridor itself consists of the cities from Quincy up the line into Princeton. So about, you know, Macomb and Quincy and Galesburg and Kewaunee and Princeton are the principal cities. Amtrak officials participate in the meetings. We usually have a fair number of state and sometimes federal legislators participate in the meeting, in the meetings and so forth. And the primary purpose of the corridor is to promote the use of, promote and support the use of Amtrak, service to the various cities.
And as we talked a few weeks ago on Galesburg Live, and I'll get into more of this in a little bit, but just based on some of the things that Amtrak may be looking to do these days, good or bad, it sounds like that you kind of need this corridor, don't you?
Yes, it's now more important. Basically, Amtrak hired a new president about a year and a half ago, and a fellow named by the name of Richard Anderson, who came from Delta Airlines,
who I gathered is one of your favorite people in this world.
Well, we have opposing points of view about the direction that Amtrak should be going in. Mm-hmm. He's basically of a mind that he's going to reduce the operating deficits, and perhaps Amtrak turns out to be serve the Eastern Corridor from Boston to Washington D.C. And long-distance trains seem to be targeted for elimination.
Which, as we talked about a few weeks ago, does not sound like a good idea at all. And I'll ask about that again in a little bit here. But what sorts of issues, and these are pretty much all cities that are along the Illinois Zephyr that are a part of this corridor, I think. What sorts of issues do you have these days that maybe Amtrak either can or can't help you with?
Well, the corridor itself, you know, I mean, things are going fine in the state of Illinois. The Illinois Department of Transportation has financed new locomotives for the various 10 different state train routes. And if you know, you go out to the depot when one of those trains comes in, you'll see these beautiful new locomotives. Mm-hmm. They also announced in April that there would be a rollout of new coach cars for the state trains that would take place starting in 2019 and taking about 3 years. So on the state level, things are going well. Ridership is down slightly this year compared to last year. But last year it was kind of, you know, I mean, we had to deal with the Chicago Cubs going to the World Series effect on ridership, which was helpful. But basically, ridership along the corridor has remained very steady over the years.
I realize we here at WGIL carry the Cardinals, but maybe it would be nice for the Cubs to go to the World Series again, if for no other reason that it might help ridership up north.
Well, certainly that's true. I've got them pegged in to go to the sometime in the next century to go again. And of course now I said that earlier today, and I'm sure I'll hear from all the Cub fans.
That's all right. They know where you work.
Yes.
So it sounds like, and that's probably a high point, I would imagine, that the state has supported Amtrak as much as it has, even though there's still and perhaps continues to be a bit of a state budgetary problem that's been kind of longstanding.
Yeah, the state of Illinois, you know, only a few states across the country actually support Amtrak trains that are basically local in nature. Illinois does 10 of these trains, but once you travel, Iowa has none. Kansas, Colorado, you know, most of the western states rely on the long distance trains for any Amtrak service. So, for instance, Kansas City, it's only Amtrak services the Southwest Chief, one east, one west per day. And, you know, here in Galesburg, we have four choices each day. Two to the west, two to the south to Quincy, and four going to Chicago.
Yeah. Is that a concern of everyone along this corridor group, that this possibility that we've talked about before, that the Southwest Chief might get cut? If I understand what you told me right, you're basically would run to part of Arizona, and then all the riders would have to get out and take a bus the rest of the way west, which sounds incredibly stupid.
Well, actually... We first, you know, this first, the situation with Amtrak first came to light in the end of March, when Amtrak, without any notice or any discussion, issued a memorandum to its employees that basically said that no longer would they be allowing private rail cars to attach to Amtrak trains, or allowing private trains themselves. And of course, Galesburg was supposed to have a visit by a private train in May, and again in in September.
Yeah.
And both of those end up being canceled. But that, you know, I mean, that's part of the problem and the objection I have to the new president's actions is he takes it as Amtrak's a private, his own private corporation, and despite the fact that it receives about $1.5 billion of federal aid, there's no need for to seek public input. Or no need for transparency when they make these decisions.
Wow.
So at that point, also we learned that Amtrak had decided to renege on Tiger Grant Number 8, dealing with some trackage that runs through Kansas, Colorado, and New Mexico. These are BNSF lines. The BNSF, federal and various states, even county governments have all been committing money to maintain and upgrade the trackage. That there's a particular section that the BN no longer carries any freight on because, you know, trains have become so much longer and heavier, and the grades on this particular area are just not acceptable for the new real freight trains.
Yeah.
And so we heard this rumor that the idea would be that they would be inserting a bus component into the train. In other words, you'd go to somewhere in Kansas, get off the Chief, get on a bus, go about 800 miles to Albuquerque, get back on a train. And lo and behold, we started alerting our federal legislators about this. We wrote letters to Amtrak. We wrote, you know, we met with various representatives of our Congress people, Bustos, LaHood, Senator Durbin, and kind of raised some of the issues. The Western states, of course, were a little bit ahead of us. Just because, you know, they were first to be aware that Amtrak was backing away from its commitment on this Tiger Grant. And there was a meeting on June 3rd with the Amtrak president and six U.S. senators from these three states and some others. And the meeting was described as being quickly reducing to a shouting match.
Oh, cute.
Yes. Well, you know.
That solves problems.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so as a result, earlier this week, if I can find my notes, there was legislation that was passed that basically prevents Amtrak from inserting this bus route in the middle of the Southwest Chief, at least for a year and a half till when they get back to the next funding agreement. And this bill passed 92-6 in the Senate, and was approved. So it effectively blocks this Richard Anderson's plan to basically make the Southwest Chief non-existent or truncated into three things.
So assuming it's signed into law, that's got to be a bit of a reprieve then.
Yes, we got a reprieve for a while. But basically, we need to get back to the big ideas. Are we pursuing the new Amtrak president's goals of eliminating unprofitable segments on Amtrak, eliminating services to the western states, or do we view this Amtrak service similar to any other public transportation? It's providing vital connections to a lot of communities that otherwise have no other public access. They don't have access to airplanes or whatever. You know, I wrote to all the mayors along the routes of the Zephyr and the Southwest Chief and received a lot of replies back, and they've written, you know, to the Amtrak board. And, you know, there's communities where this is it. You know, the single Amtrak train coming through is their only transportation. So Congress will have to decide what its priorities are, and we hope that we go back to what they used to be, what they've been for many, many years. But we've also seen, you know, a lot of degradation going on with long-distance trains. You know, they've eliminated dining cars on certain trains.
Yeah.
They've eliminated the observation cars on the California train that travels up the coast. You know, they've eliminated ticket agents. They've just done a lot of things. And it's not because the funding is not available. It is available. It is approved. But it's because the mission of the president is to try and make Amtrak a profitable thing.
And you know, there's nothing wrong with that, I would imagine, on the surface. But on the other hand, the Amtrak board has a lot of very knowledgeable people on it that understand the importance of this. And I'm thinking of the former mayor of Macomb, Tom Carper, who at one point was the chair of the board of directors of Amtrak. And how are they letting this guy running Amtrak get away with this?
Well, you know, during Tom Carper's time as chairman of the Amtrak board, they were focused on increasing ridership, increasing the quality of service, and so mm-hmm. forth. He's now Tom Carper. While he remains on the board for a short time longer, he will be leaving the Amtrak board, mm-hmm. and the majority of the board are looking at the notion that, you know what, we don't necessarily need long distance trains. We don't want to, you know, have this connectivity going on in our nation. And that, you know, that's a decision I think Congress needs to make.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones providing the financial support that's kept Amtrak alive since it was first organized.
Is ridership a concern on any of these long distance routes, or is it solely just solely the almighty dollar here, for lack of a better term? And I think of that because, you know, on one hand, cutting expenses always sounds like a good idea, but on the other hand, I imagine, has there been any thought to even maybe raising fares or things like that too?
You know what, I really don't know what the Amtrak board or leadership has looked at and not looked at. I know, for instance, there used to be a student discount for Amtrak yeah. tickets. That was eliminated, but now that's being brought back. So they seem to be flip-flopping.
You know, I don't ever remember getting a cheap Amtrak ticket when I was traveling from Chicago to Kewaunee on a regular basis.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, the ticket prices are so very reasonable.
Yeah, they really are, though, too. Yeah,
they really are. But I don't know. I mean, they're doing things that you know, like there was an Amtrak Toys for Tots train in the Northwest.
Yeah,
that was just canceled. I mean, so all the Amtrak employees who volunteered, all the Marines who run Toys for Tots, all the various first responders who literally put this whole train load of stuff together to go out to these small, isolated communities, now they've got to make other plans.
So much for any remote sense of goodwill, I guess.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of unhappy people out
yeah.
there. In our case, you know, it's had a direct effect on Galesburg, the elimination of private rail cars, private trains. You know, that means there's not, you know, we've lost a lot of visitors who would otherwise be here. You know, so again, that was a process that was just here comes a memorandum. There was no, you know, the private rail car owners had no idea this was even being discussed or considered, and here it comes out of the blue.
I recall Delta Airlines was a publicly traded company at one point, so at some point this guy must know how to answer to a board of directors, right?
Well, he's answering to his board of directors. But, you know, Delta doesn't receive $1.6 yeah. billion directly from the federal government mm-hmm. to operate. And you know, as a consequence, I think he has a stand. You know, I think there should be a standard that, you know, it's just good sense. I mean, if what's the issue with the private rail cars? What's the problem he's trying to fix by eliminating
it? Exactly, yeah.
It appears that, you know, the hauling, the revenue received from these private trains and hauling these private rail cars was a real positive impact to the bottom line.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, so on the one hand, I don't get it. And there's really been no explanation and there's been no process. So I hope as a part of this, Congress will reopen that for just for scrutiny and to understand, you know, why they did that.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of minutes left, John. Are there other concerns these days that the Western Illinois corridor here has, or is this possibility of the Southwest Chief going away it for now?
Well, I think that's our, you know, I mean, this is an organization that's promote Amtrak usage and ridership. And obviously this whole problem with long distance trains being set up to be eliminated, set up to fail, is kind of taking our focus away from our main mission, which is trying to figure out ways to work with Amtrak to promote events downstate where people will travel down here on Amtrak and utilize it. And so, yeah, it's a distraction. But you know, the staff people that we work with at Amtrak, they're great people. We let them have an earful, but we made sure that they understood it wasn't them or it wasn't personal.
Oh, sure.
It was a policy issue. And and we look forward. I think everybody looks forward to Amtrak being more successful. We think that the new equipment that's rolling out will be a big improvement for things. And you know, we still have the issue of you know, getting the new service established to Moline from Chicago for Amtrak, and that's still alive and I think moving forward, although much delayed.
Even though there might still be concern that some of that ridership that comes through here might stay in Moline?
Yeah, well, obviously people, you know, in the Quad City area, you know, they can travel to Princeton or Kewaunee or Galesburg to gain access to Amtrak to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of depends on their schedule and their preference. Obviously, what we're most concerned about is if, you know, the people that are traveling to Galesburg for access to the West Coast, you know, we believe unchecked that the Zephyr and the Southwest Chief would really cease to exist as any meaningful rail transportation.
Just create a domino effect.
Yeah, and a domino effect. And I can get into all the, you know, accounting issues about allocating and reallocating overhead and all these things. And eliminating the long distance trains will mean states like Illinois will be asked to pony up even more money and so forth. And so there's nothing good that will come out of it for Galesburg if we start eliminating long distance trains, and for Illinois, you know, most of the long distance trains end up in Chicago or
right.
Leave Chicago, whether it's the Empire Builder going to the, you know, Minneapolis and then on to Seattle, or the New Orleans train or trains to the east,
right?
You know, Illinois is really the hub of most Amtrak activity, except for that one East Coast corridor.
Yeah, very for sure. So
yeah.
So I guess at least at this point, a positive Amtrak, at least for Galesburg in this area, is just as viable now as it ever has been.
Yeah, I mean, our ridership has remained more or less steady over the years. The state of Illinois is investing more into Amtrak, both operationally and from an equipment standpoint. So those things, you know, will improve. Frankly, we're very fortunate because the trains that serve Galesburg run on BNSF lines. We've got like a 93% on time ratio. Other Amtrak trains that run in the state, like to Champaign and Carbondale and so forth, they maybe have inverted on time ratio.
I took a train once from Springfield to Chicago, and man, that kind of seemed like it took forever for that train to get there compared to when it was supposed to be.
Well, I heard a story. You know, there was a certain mayor from one of our corridor cities was going from Chicago to Carbondale to see somebody about maybe purchasing a motorcycle, and he got on the train, and you know, they just got later and later and later. And of course, he's from our side of the state, and we're yeah. used to being on time. And he finally arrived at the station in Carbondale, and he said, "I'm so sorry that I'm, you know, I'm like an hour and a half late." And the fellow looked at back at him and said, "Yeah, that's we expect that."
Jeez.
You know, it was no big deal to be an hour and a half late for them, but that, you know, that's, I mean, that's part of part of trying to keep any kind of service is trying to keep it on schedule.
Yeah.
And so that's a big problem in other areas, but fortunately not in our side of the state.
For sure. So that's all a very good thing for now. And we're glad yep. to have had these folks in town yesterday, for
yeah.
sure.
Yep. It was very good.
Mayor John Pritchard, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Kim Commando in sports next as Galesburg's Evening News continues on WGIL.